We said what we wanted to do was kind of like the interview thing, right? Where we wanted to kind of talk to you about Dragon Age.
Yeah, I don't, like... I don't know what to say. Like, hello, welcome to Split the Veil. Our special guest is one of the co-hosts.
Well, it's me, bitches.
It's me, bitches. What up?
if you're not tired of hearing me already.
If you don't want my hours of content, how about this hour, fuckers? I don't know.
Would people really complain if we're just like, look, it's an episode all about Katie. Who doesn't want this?
It's not even my birthday. That would be a really conceited birthday episode, though. So. You know, we've been doing this for a year. I don't think I know your birthday. What, like, give me like a month.
August.
Oh, shit, it's coming up.
Yeah, turning 29. And, yeah, it's weird. I'm normally really weird about my birthday because I don't celebrate it at all. And so there's a good portion of people at my job who don't know it, and I won't tell them. Because 1 year I was like, you know, it's like people thought, and it was funny. I wasn't like legitimately mad. I did think it was pretty hilarious because I was like, no. Like they were good on the team or whatever. They would get a person a card when it was their birthday and maybe like a little cupcake or something. I'm like, please don't do that. Like, I really don't. So I'm not saying that. And I'm expecting you to do the opposite. It's not like some weird birthday reverse psychology. I just don't do anything. So of course, in good spirit, they just got fucking streamers and confetti and fucking signs and just plastered my desk. I mean, like my chair was wrapped in streamers.
Now I have to ask, why didn't you like celebrating your birthday?
I don't, and like, honestly, as I get older, I think I might start to appreciate it, quite honestly, because it's like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, there's lessons learned and life lived, and it's a good time to reflect and all those other things. I think it originated from just being sort of, not angsty, but just like, I was assertive about my apathy.
Oh, God, were you like one of those, like, emo guys?
Or? No, I was never emo. I was never emo, but I was just... I mean, if I'm reflecting on it honestly now, I think I was just trying so hard to be nonchalant about it, and maybe it was something like that. But no, just I've never had the urge to. Like, I've never in my life thrown a big birthday party or anything like that. I mean, when I was a kid, my parents did birthday parties for me, maybe a couple, but yeah, just not a birthday person. So, what about you? When is your birthday?
It's not. I don't want to, like, give the exact date, but it's basically Halloween. So it's, like, every year my birthday is a party has been Halloween-themed. I don't, like, hate it, but...
you're like, just 1 year. Just 1 year. Couldn't it be just, like, Ratatouille-themed? Couldn't we just...
I don't even like rats or French cooking, but just something different. Fuck.
Just something different. Okay, so I don't know how we're going to transition into this exactly.
No.
When I kept doing questions, like, it can't just be like, hey, like, what about Dragon Age topic? So I don't. Somehow the topics always kept coming back to, like, yes, Dragon Age, but more like, sort of, why did you start playing Dragon Age? What about the community? And in some sense, like, why did you decide to make YouTube videos about it? And so then it did kind of become like an interview about you, because I couldn't separate the two of just like, hey, like, what about Sarah, right? Because you made a video about that already. Like, I can't just make it strictly about that. And so the topics always kept coming back to what is sort of your feelings on maybe BioWare, but also the community.
Oh, we're going, like, full interview here.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought, like, okay, so I guess for the audience, how this was pitched is that you emailed me. It's like, I kind of just want to do, like, interviews where, like, I do you and you do me. Wouldn't that be interesting? I'm like, oh, yeah, we could do it. And then, like, I thought this was going to be more about Dragon Age or something. And then now you're actually going full interview. Nothing wrong with that. I just didn't expect it.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know. I mean, like, that's just, I kept trying to ask just Dragon Age questions. But then it's like, well, I can't separate the two in a way. I don't know why they just felt like they went together.
No, that's fair. I think it's a good way for people to know the co-hosts. So,
well, I guess to start off with, when did you first start playing Dragon Age?
So I'll just give the full story. Okay, so it's 2015. I had just moved, I was like maybe 6 or so months where the place where I am, and I didn't know anybody. And at the time I was in grad school and it was Christmas vacation, Michael was working. What the fuck am I going to do with myself? So I had just gotten a new computer and I was like, fuck, I need to get some games for this because I didn't really have anything. I had played the Mass Effect series the year prior on my crappy laptop. So I was like, well, I like RPGs, so let's look through that. And at the time, Inquisition had just came out like, I don't know, a couple months before then. Because this is like January. So I was looking up romance scenes because I'm a basic bitch. I was looking at the Blackwall one because he kind of looks like my husband. So I was like, oh, wouldn't that be fun? And then I saw this weird fucking guy. He just looks so ridiculous. And he had a romance with him. And I'm like, okay, this has to be a joke. It's soulless. So I click on the video. And I get to the one where he breaks up with the Inquisitor. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Who, like, that can't be the end of that. People don't break up with you in video games. So I try to find the video where he gets back together with you, but I couldn't find it. And I just assumed that it was something like, oh, it hasn't out yet. Maybe it's in a DLC, whatever. The person just didn't upload it. So I was like, well, this looks interesting enough. So I'll just play the whole series. And I had gotten Origins free from, like, Origin, the EA client, will give out free video games, and they had given out Dragon Age Origins, and I grabbed it. So I had that, I downloaded it. I also thought it was Guild Wars at the time, so opening it up, I'm like, this isn't the game I thought it was. Anyway, because they kind of have, like, similar marketing or whatever with, like, the Red Dragons. Anyway, but, so I started Origins January 1st. 2015, and I just absolutely fell in love with it, and I think I shotgunned about 60 hours of it in a week, and then played through Dragon Age 2 and 3, like, within the month, and I just ate it up. So that's my story. It's because of the weird soulless romance, and I couldn't find the satisfying video that I got into the damn thing. So,
how many times have you played through the entire trilogy?
You know what? I have it marked down. So I have this giant spreadsheet of, like, all of my world states. Let's see here. So let's just count the Inquisitors because I have all that. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 times. That sounds a little insane, but
what a
loud.
Champ. I don't know, I'm proud of you. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm at 11 on Mass Effect. I mean, technically I'm in the middle of my 12th, so and I've done that over the course of 10 years, so man, what way to go. Damn.
I well, here's the thing, I don't like, a shock to everyone, I'm sure. I kind of have an obsessive personality, so when I get into something, I pretty much always had an obsession. The Dragon Age is just my current one. So, like, it honestly, for 2015 through 2017, that this is all I played. I didn't really play any other games. I had some. I just wasn't really that into it. So I, like, would play it for maybe, like, a couple hours, because, like, my husband buys a whole bunch, and then I'll play through him or whatever. But I really just would go back to Dragon Age. And it was also kind of like, I wasn't really happy with how, like, my master's degree was going and whatnot. Not that I did bad. It was just, like, you know, hard. So mm-hmm. Whenever I needed, like, a good break or, like, I couldn't sleep, then I would just go and play some Dragon Age. So it, in a way, it gave me that, people always strive for that sense of mastery. And because I just felt so, because it was really new to my field, so useless at that, like, the Dragon Age kind of gave me that comfort for it, which is really silly, but that's what it is.
And you played RPGs before. What were some of the RPGs you played before playing Dragon Age?
Like I said, Mass Effect. That one I liked, but I didn't love it, just because I'm not really a sci-fi fan. I was obsessed with Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. It's a little Game Boy game. It's like turn-based. Well, every Final Fantasy is turn-based, basically. But I guess I was really into the Final Fantasy series. I played through 10 a lot. 10-2 I played through, but we're not going to talk about it because I hated it. I bought 11, but I bought it secondhand, so I got halfway through it, and then the disc was scratched, and I couldn't play it anymore, so that was disappointing. And then I also got Final Fantasy VII, but because I have a PS2, I didn't know you had to have a memory card from like a PlayStation 1 or whatever. So I like sat down and like marathoned like something like 6 hours. It was absolutely ridiculous because I was like 10 at the time. And when I went to save it, it was like, oh, by the way, you can't. So I sat there and was like, well, I can't like go out and get a memory card. So I guess I'm just fucked. And I haven't touched it since because I was just so angry. So mostly Final Fantasy. And then a lot, I also was really into like Animal Crossing and stuff like that. Played a lot of Minecraft in college because that was all my computer could run for a while. So,
out of the 13 Inquisitors, do you have a favorite?
Yes. So I guess like my can't... The first time I play, it's like my canon choice. For some reason, it just... The first time I play it, something was very magical about that. I don't know. So the first time I played Inquisition, it was an elf mage. Then I used my shepherd's... Because I wanted to make her a redhead. So I used my shepherd's name, which was Aurea. So I guess she is my favorite one. You see her in basically all of my videos just because I have more saves for her. So because I think that one I've put in like 150 hours. I did like everything with that save file. So it's just the one I go to the most because it's convenient. So that one's my favorite.
And so you did play Inquisition first or you played Origins first?
I played Origins first because I don't know, I'm kind of a stickler about like if I want to, you know, play a game, I want to go to like the first version of that, you know? So I don't really like hopping in the middle of a series. I feel like you miss something, but maybe that's just me.
Do you remember the first moment playing Origins where you were really impressed or maybe beyond impressed, where you were kind of blown away by some aspect of it? And what was it?
Yes, it was. So I rolled a female elf mage and for Dragon Age Origins. And well, one, me being extremely vain about it, it popped up with a like, oh, here's how you play the game. And I just, I know how to play the game. I don't need this. So I go through, I like skip all of the tutorials and then like, cut to me like 10, like 20 hours in the game. I have no idea how to play. I have no idea what I'm doing. That was pretty embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But the moment that I was like, oh, shit, this is actually pretty cool, is that I don't know if you've ever played a mage in Origins, but if mm-hmm. you meet a little mouse in the Fade during your harrowing, and you kind of help it along, and you make it go strong, and you're like, oh, you know, I'll help you out of here. And then at the end, as you're talking with him, you're like, oh, holy shit, it's not the rage demon I fought that's the harrowing, it's this guy. And that, I know that like sudden, I remember like as I'm watching this cutscene and going, oh shit, I almost got possessed. Oh God, what did I do? It was kind of this feeling of like, oh, this is the type of game that anything can happen. So, okay. So that was that for me. And then also another thing I was really impressed with is like, I absolutely hate plots. I absolutely hate them. That if you just fucking talk to each other, it's all resolved. And so Jowen comes up. It was like, oh no, I'm going to be made tranquil. I'm going to have to do all these like really stupid decisions. If only I could just talk to the first enchanter to find out if it's real or not. So I was just so frustrated with this quest. I tried talking to the first enchanter. And sure enough, you can turn his ass in. So I did so. And I was just so happy I could do that. I think those two moments combined made me like really like the game. So.
So it was a lot of the choice that pulled you in, like the branching of the storylines, etc.
Yeah, and I guess to sum it up succinctly, it's when I wanted to do something, like before even looking at the choices, and I had a mind of, oh, I want to do X, Y, or Z, the game would already let me do X, Y, or Z. I didn't have to be like, oh, I wish I could do X, and it wouldn't let me do X. So it was kind of very satisfying. I'm like, oh, look, I can do that. So...
What was kind of the finishing state of things for your first playthrough on Origins? I'm curious because Origins can really shake down a bunch of different ways, and that maybe the other games don't have quite as many options towards the end. What was kind of the state of things with Loghain, Anora, the whole deal in Origins?
I romanced Alistair, so Loghain just he died, which I didn't mind killing him. Like especially at the time, I was like, oh, this asshole, because I didn't really know the backstory and whatnot. Uh-huh. It was pretty like, I don't know, common, similar, like, I don't know, it was pretty basic of like my choices were like, you know, Roman Salister, he's on the throne. I like, so when I saved Anora, she, you go out there, you're saving her, and like the guard comes out and was like, oh, you know, you're kidnapping the queen. And so I go, I'm not kidnapping her, I'm saving her. And then Anora's like, oh no, I'm being kidnapped. I'm like, you bitch. And I was so mad at her that I was like, no, get off the throne. You're dead to me. I don't want to talk to you. So she didn't get on the throne. She didn't marry Alistair. I actually didn't know about the hardening softening mechanism, so he broke up with me, and then I reloaded the save to make sure he wouldn't break up with me.
Ah.
And then I guess the most interesting part to say is that I didn't see the even though I had a lot of spoilers, for somehow I just missed like the Morrigan thing where she's like, oh, you know, the dark ritual. That's what I'm looking for. But I didn't expect her to do that. And I was just, I remember like quitting the game after I had finished it and doing the dishes. And I was just so angry at Morrigan, and I knew about Witch Hunt. And I'm just sitting there doing dishes angrily going like, I'm going to stab her. God. How could she sleep with my boyfriend? And then like taking a moment and be like, this is a video game, and I'm, like, legitimately upset with Morrigan right now. And then, like, because I didn't own Witch Hunt at the time, I actually went out and bought it. So I had a game for free, and then I rebought the damn thing.
So you could stab her.
Yeah, and I go in, and I stab her, and when she's talking with me, it just completely diffuses the situation, and all of my anger melts away to just sadness for Morrigan. It was really bizarre. So, yeah.
Well, she wasn't just trying to sleep with your boyfriend. She was trying to be the baby mama, the demon baby mama.
Right, which is what I felt like. Oh, you're using me and whatever. I felt really angry. But like when she talks to you in a Witch Hunt, she was like, you know, it's just the way it had to be. Like it's like I'm not happy about it. Like the kid's fine, but I don't know. She was very like almost apologetic. She didn't really apologize because she was like she also was really keen on saying like, I didn't betray you, I tried to save you. And she kind of gave her side of the story. I'm like, oh, I guess you didn't betray me, huh? I'm just being really emotional about this for no reason. So she walked away unscathed.
Yeah, Morrigan has a really interesting arc throughout the trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is her written, the development of her character being written, but I also think it's kind of the tone of how they wrote her, or maybe they go hand in hand, because she obfuscates a lot in Origins, mm-hmm. right? You can never quite tell if you should trust her in Origins. Then by the time Inquisition rolls around, there's a little bit of that. You know, she's kind of like, my reasons are my reasons, but I also kind of feel like maybe there was an effort on the writers to mm-hmm. showcase a little bit more of her not necessarily seeming shifty all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's something that really touched me with her story is like, and it's really silly, but if you befriend her as a woman, she, like, I forget where in the game, but she approaches you and says, hey, like, I really enjoyed your friendship and I think of you as a sister. Now, I don't have any siblings, and so I've had friendships that, like, I felt, like, sisterly towards, and somehow that just got, like, really touched me in a way, and I was like, oh, no! So that made, like, that betrayal even worse, because, like, to be a little bit blunt, I've had friendships where I've viewed these women as sisters, and they, like, really hurt me in some way. So it was kind of like, oh, again!
Even in a video game!
Oh, I can't have any friends! So it was kind of something like that. So I think that's kind of, that sister line kind of became the basis of a lot of my anger in that's those final dark ritual moments. And then, like, that apologetic moment was like, okay, I'm being silly. So
you heard it here first, folks. Don't upset Katie or she'll stab you and throw you through a magic mirror.
Unless you have a really good apology, then. So.
Are there any characters in any of the games that you've kind of flipped on over, 13 playthroughs, somebody you really liked and then maybe disliked, or disliked and then grew to like?
Probably the biggest one is Sarah, because like when I first played through, I'm like, I can't stand this woman at all. And then I played through my main playthrough twice. One to like try it the first time, and then two to fix all my mistakes. But mm-hmm. The second time, I almost saw her as like a daughter figure, because I like to headcanon that my Inquisitor is like in her 40s. So like a little 18, 20-year-old girl, I'm like, oh, little baby, let me adopt you and tell you why you're wrong. But I don't know, it almost felt very daughterly. And then when I did a playthrough, when I romanced her, it was like, she's, like, it's a really sweet romance. And, like, you really suddenly, understand how young she is by, like, how she acts and what she does. So it was kind of, I don't know, weird to really hate her. But I think that's pretty common. Like, a lot of people hate her first off. And then when they, like, get to know her, you're like, oh, she's a little weird and off-putting, but she's genuine, and I respect that.
Just to be clear, those were two separate playthroughs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sorry.
That transition was really smooth, and I'm like, look, I'm sure somebody's written that fan fiction. I just want to clarify.
No. That's definitely, I didn't, like, have an older Inquisitor, which I guess someone could do that, but, like, and then see her as a daughter and then romance her. No, that's not what that happened at all. Oh, God.
Who's the worst character as far as companions in all of Dragon Age? Let's say maybe it could also be the least memorable, like the most easily ignored or forgettable, if we don't want to be straight up negative towards what is invariably someone's favorite.
Oh, I'll be negative, but if we're going to go most forgivable, I would say a majority of the Awakening cast, just because we didn't spend a lot of time with them. Especially like V'Lana, she had an interesting basis, but because she just came off so angry that no one really wanted to get close with her, so she's very forgettable. I think same with Sigryn. Well, she wasn't angry or anything, but like Sigryn, or however you say her name, she was cute and adorable, but like that, and she had some interesting like story aspects, but like again, just didn't have enough time with that, so it just whatever. And I forgot about Nathaniel, so yeah, okay, same with him. I would say the worst though. I think it depends on how you want to define the worst. The worst implemented character is Sebastian, hands down. Like he had it like. I think he's a fine character, but, like, he was just, he just felt shoehorned in. He never felt like he was friends. Like, all of Hawk's companions feel like friends, except for Sebastian, who's, like, that guy you picked up and you just wish he'd go away. You know? Like, everyone treats him like that. So I wish that was done a little bit better. I would say the worst, though, is Ogryn.
Really? Ogryn? Lovable Ogryn. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if he's lovable. Like, he's fine. I feel like what I don't like about him, though, is that he was trying to be very humorous, and I feel like the humor is very dated and hasn't aged very well. Because it's just like, I'm a drunk. Look at me being a drunk. Lol, I say so many random things. Lol, so, he's like a lol, so random girl, but he's a drunk dwarf man. So, I guess I just kind of, like, I liked him all right when I start. Well, okay, maybe here's what you were asking earlier. I liked him all right when I started, but as I keep playing on, I'm just like, all right, he gets old. Not that I, like, hate him. I just get tired of him. Like, I don't really talk with him much if I play again. He's like, I don't know. He doesn't, like, have a lot of redeeming qualities. Like, he's just, he for some reason, he got drunk. He killed a kid accidentally, lost his cast, his wife left him for another woman. He went onto the surface. He's just a really miserable guy who just gets drunk all the time and makes weird sex jokes. And then when he goes off and joins the warden, because what else is he going to do? He's abandoning his new wife and child. Hey, great. Great guy.
Yeah, it's a really salient point about the humor not aging well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very well written. And as much as I like Steve Bloom and just about anything, it's you know, he's not being pushed by the material at all in that case.
Yeah, like, I think the voice acting was fine. It was more just like, I feel like a lot of the characters in this game, if they have something like a really bad negative trait they're trying to get over, they also have like good qualities. And I feel like Ogryn just didn't got any of that. Like, he wasn't like, there wasn't even an attempt to change himself. It was just like, this is the way I am. I'm fucked. I'm like, okay. I don't know. So I guess like Ogryn is the one that drives me the most crazy.
I might be one of the only people that likes Sebastian that much. I can't believe you're not a fan of Bassy, man. I loved the voice actor. I thought the voice was excellent.
I like Sebastian well enough. I just don't think he was well implemented in the game. Like, that's a poor excuse for a romance. Like, the make or no, which I think that was just bad, like, directing or whatever. But, like, all of his lines just feel like, oh, I'm here. You know, it's I think if they just added him in better, like, incorporated him better into the story or whatever, it would be, you know, it'd be just as well loved as everyone else. It's just that he doesn't fit within the game, and that drives me crazy.
Does he have banter with the other party members?
Oh, yeah. The one I like the most is... The one I think fits him best is that there's lines with him and Fenris where he, I guess, sees Fenris in the chapel. And so there's just, like, this very, like, casual dialogue of just Sebastian reaching out a hand. He'd be like, hey, like, I saw you at the chantry, like, praying. If you ever want to, like, do something, like, hey, I'm right here. It's just, I don't know, that's a good example of Sebastian's character. But like, I feel like everyone else, like, it's Isabella making him uncomfortable. It's Beric making him uncomfortable. It's, I don't know, things like that. Like, no one seems to like him except, like, maybe Fenris. So...
Yeah, but his armor was so cool, though.
You like the armor's all right. It's all right.
I'm trying to turn you on Sebastian. Okay, so Sebastian poorly implemented, Vilana, I think you said pretty forgettable, and Ogryn not redeemable in the slightest.
Yeah, that's what I think at least.
Who's your favorite? Is it too much of an assumption to just jump to Solas?
Solas is really good, but my favorite's actually Aveline. I'll say this to the day I die. Mm. I love Aveline. I think the moment that made me fall in love with Aveline is when your mother dies and she's trying to comfort you. And then she awkwardly goes into the story about her own dad dying. And like, as someone who does therapy, I totally get that moment when you've accidentally said like, oh no, this story, like I'm trying to relate this back to the client, but it's totally not working that well. I shouldn't have said these things. And then at the end, you and they look confused. I don't know. I felt like a very relatable moment as a budding therapist at the time. But yeah, I just love that moment when she's trying to talk about her, like you, she goes into talking about herself, realizes what she's doing. She goes, ah, fuck, I fucked it. And then she just turns to you and like actually says a very meaningful thing of like, no one tells you how to mourn. So I related hard to that. And I guess her husband, well, her new husband, Donick, he has like these ridiculous sideburns. And when I met Michael, he had these ridiculous sideburns. And I also have always felt like I've been way too masculine in like my hobbies, and then Aveline's kind of masculine but she keeps her femininity, so like that kind of thing I really heavily relate to. So I guess I relate the most and like Aveline the most. So I do like Solas a lot. I think that because he kind of got me into the series, he's my favorite romance, he's very mysterious and whatnot, but like if for some reason it came down to Solas or Aveline, Solas is sorry man. I gotta save my baby girl.
She's super loyal. Her loyalty to Hawk is through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always liked Aveline. I think for me it was the moment right from the beginning, right? That one line of, you will not have him, right? When she's trying to defend Wesley. Like, especially in that age, what, 2011, you're like, wow, that's totally not what you see right off the bat from a female character totally turning the male-female sort of heroine dichotomy on its head.
And then she fails, which is really sad.
Well, that's true, but it makes you even more sympathetic towards her, right?
Yeah.
What's a frustrating moment that really sticks out for you as far as, like, gameplay-wise? Whether you thought it was, like, a difficulty spike or a quest that wasn't done well? Like, is there anything that just, like, made you want to throw the controller or keyboard through the screen? Either your first time or... I have this thing where sometimes when I'm replaying, I keep replaying the parts that I specifically don't like.
Why?
And I'm going, I don't know. I can never feel like, I guess there's like a semi-completionist aspect of me where I'm like, God, I hate this quest and I'll just keep doing it. But either that or just the first time you played it where you thought, God, this is a stupid part of this game. I love this game, but this part is stupid.
Are you a masochist, Jordan? Is this where this is coming out? Or
no, not in video games I am, I guess.
I immediately my mind jumped to Trespasser. When you fucking have to free or kill the dragon, and the mechanics to free the dragon are so wonky, I can never get it to work right. Well, I have done it before, but it's just so wonky, and it just takes a long time, and it's frustrating because things are attacking you. At this point, I just say, fuck it, this dragon's dying. Like, it's not in the keep, this choice isn't going to carry over, and it's just way easier to kill the damn thing. So, I hate that fucking dragon. It's the worst. That's really the only mechanic that, like, drove me crazy. Which, then again, I did install, like, Skip the Fade, like, on my second playthrough, and I don't think I've played the Fade since. So maybe that, but it's just... I realize I don't like the deep roads, but I think that's only based on, like, the deep roads are fine, it's just way too long compared to the rest of the game, so you feel like you're there forever.
What about the books? What was the first one that you got into? When did you start deciding you wanted to jump? Or was that the first outside of the game media that you experienced? Or like, when did you decide you wanted to dive in more?
I think it was just so I found out that like Fiona is Alistair's mother. So I was like, oh, I want to know about that. So I just, over the course of mid to late 2015, I just started collecting the novels. I think the first one I had was, I actually think I went in order. I got the Stolen Throne and the Calling at the same time, and I read those. And then I got, Masked Empire and then Asunder, and then Last Flight came out and I got that one. So, I just read the, I guess I mostly wanted to know who's Alistair's mother. And then it just kind of became I read two, I guess I'll read the others. So, and wanting to know who Cole was and that kind of stuff. So it was just me being where I am now was just a constant desire to know more, and there wasn't really a lot of good resources other than reading the wiki, and the wiki is really good but it still leaves out a lot, so I just felt so frustrated with it. I'm like, fine, I'll just go to the source material, and then here's where I am now, where I've read and watched all of the things.
So that was the next question. Is there anything you haven't gotten to yet either? I mean, there's a few comics. I know you've read some of them. Is there anything you haven't gotten to yet as far as books, comics? Did you watch the one they did that one animated movie with Cassandra?
Yeah, right? I've watched that one twice, once by myself and once with friends. That was fun. No, I've done 99% of it. The stuff that I haven't done is stuff I can't find anymore. So there's this Facebook game that came out a while ago. I guess what I'm trying to say is the things I haven't done are the really, really weird stuff that doesn't even count anyway. But yeah. I've read all the comics, the books, the World of Thetis, all of the Codex entries. I've done it all except for just a couple of strange things. If you play Dragon Age 2, there's a couple items called Ezra's whatever, necklace or boots or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Though that is actually associated with a Flash game that you can play. I've actually played half of that and then lost or whatever, and it was okay, whatever. So one day I want to do a video where I go back to that and try to beat it. But I've done most of it.
what's your favorite out of the novels?
Mostly Masked Empire because of Felisan, because he was just so fun to read. And then I really like the Elfie Poo Poo, so in that book is full of Elfie Poo Poo.
Elfie Poo Poo?
Yeah, I think I said that in another episode, and then we started going into elven scat porn, so I don't.
Oh, I know we did not.
Yes, we did.
We did. We segued into elven scat porn. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
Yes, we have. We have 100% have gotten there. It was probably my fault, too, but we have totally done that.
God damn. I really got to remember to put the explicit tag on every episode now when we upload the audio, because sometimes I forget, and I was like, I don't know if iTunes cares, but... Just knowing that at any given point in time, we could segue into elven scat porn.
Yeah, our podcast constantly deserves an explicit tag because I just can't, control myself. How have I worked with kids? I should not work with children.
Carefully, that's how.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
You just compartmentalize.
There's definitely been times where I've said something and then, oh, that's some shook stuff. catch myself, freak out a moment. So, anyway.
I guess thematically, do you think there's anything just in the themes of Dragon Age, so kind of putting aside the characters, putting aside the plot for the second, do you think there's anything particularly unique to the themes of Dragon Age that you like or that seems to be drawing you in?
Yeah, I think something I mentioned this in a video at one point. Oh, is the IDW Comics one, because I was trying to figure out why does the IDW Comics not feel like a Dragon Age thing other than just being complete shit? I guess for me, what Dragon Age is it's not about the heroics or whatever. It's about the people. It's about your companions. It's about your relationship with them. It's a game about relationships and, like, exploring with those in, like, a fantasy setting and whatnot. Like, yeah, you know, the stuff with Corypheus is fun, and you get to save the world, and there's magic, and blah, blah, blah. But, like, if what people remember isn't the magic, it isn't, like, the world saving, it isn't the blight or whatever, it's your companions who you romance that one time that you accidentally got Cassandra really drunk. Like, it's those are the things you remember about the game, and that's what I like. I like games about people, and pretty much all of my favorite experiences in gaming had to do with, like, something with I got attached to a character or whatnot. Like, I really got attached to this one guy in Animal Crossing. It's, like, this little anteater in Antonio. And, like, ever since when I play an Animal Crossing game, I try to get that guy because he's so dang cute. And he's my buddy, you know? I got attached to him. So I feel the same way, I guess, with Dragon Age Companions.
Do you have a decision that you made in any of the games that you really... Did you ever experience intense regret? Like, and maybe you reloaded the save point, maybe you didn't. But, like, first playthrough where you're like, I really wish I hadn't picked that.
Well, the obvious one is when I didn't pick Hardening Alistair and went back to do that. One that was like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. Before, I didn't, like, reload the save or anything, but there's, like, if you go into the, what's it called? Crestwood, and you meet that little elf girl named Jaina, whatever it is. And she says, oh, maybe I should join the Wardens. And you're like, yeah, fine, fuck it, go join the Wardens. And later she comes back, like, it being slaughtered. That was a moment of like, oh, shit.
Delayed consequences, which are kind of, they're the best and the worst.
Yeah, honestly, other than that one, I can't think of one. Okay, so this is a weird one. My first playthrough Dragon Age 2, I wasn't really like, really into any of the romance options. I'm still like kind of on the fence of Fenris, but I kind of flirted with all of them. And so the beginning of Act 2, I slept with Isabella. And then like as soon as she's, I don't know, as soon as that scene was done, I'm like, oh, I don't care. So I broke up with her. But the game doesn't let you break up with her immediately or whatever. So I still technically had the flag on of like, I'm romancing Isabella. And I wanted to romance Fenris next, but the game wouldn't let me because it still thought I was in a romance with Isabella. So I looked online, I'm like, how can I do this without console commands or whatever? And they're like, oh, easy. Like, for some reason, Meryl and Anders, their relationship overrides Isabella's when you start it. And then all you have to do is, you know, break up with them really quickly and you can romance Fenris. So I'm like, great, I'll do that. At the time, I really, like, Meryl just seems so young, I didn't want to romance her and then immediately dump her. So I went with Anders. And so I romance Anders, I, you know, get him in a room, we sleep together, and then he immediately asks to move in, and I'm already going to break up with him, and he's going really fast. So I'm like, you know what, maybe not, thanks for the sex, but I'm going to go now. And, like, the in-game dialogue says something, like, it's almost verbatim, like, you used to be, and, like, I actually did. I legitimately used him.
And right,
I felt like at the time, like I didn't know that was just the only line he says. I thought like the game knew somehow, and I was like, "Holy shit!" I felt like really bad. So I was like way too far into it to reload it, but like I really thought like maybe I should just reload this because I genuinely feel bad for Anders. And then like he goes up and blows the chantry. So for a minute there, right. I'm like, "Holy shit! Did I cause this?" What have I done? But no, you know, I googled it and it's
make
you,
it no.
Yeah, basically. I feel like the choices that I like made them and then later regretted were stronger in Mass Effect than Dragon Age. Like both for the most effect in Dragon Age, like the choices, I don't know, I feel like the ones I made ended up being the quote-unquote correct ones or the ones I was okay with. Mass Effect was the ones where I chose something and was like, regret.
All right, so I gotta know. So give me just a quick example on Mass Effect. What was the one in Mass Effect that you regretted?
The one that always comes to mind. It wasn't like the biggest regret one, but it's the only one I can remember at the moment. It's like it's the end of the first game, and the wording of it's kind of weird.
It wants you to essentially
save the Galactic Council or like a bunch of guys. And I was like, oh, well, I guess, the bunch of guys, I guess. So I saved that one and accidentally killed the council. And, like, for the rest of the two games, that's holding over my head. And, like, when I see, I think they show them die. And, like, as soon as I click that button and you see them die and you're like, oh, shit. oh no, what have I done? The entire ending of Mass Effect 2, that was always a, thankfully, like, pretty much no one died, and, like, I think, like, when I go there the first time, I guess I'd done a quest in between, which meant, like, I see, like, my crew, like, melting their faces off, and I was like, no, so I, just reloaded, and then just didn't do that quest, and they were fine afterwards, but, yeah.
When did the thought first come up that you might make a video about Dragon Age and put it on YouTube?
It was a really weird process. It was like, it was right at the time when I'm going into internship. And internship is weird, where you don't really have any book work anymore. This is the first time in a couple years where, like, you go home and you can just be home. I had so much free time on my hands. I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, this is the first time since high school where I didn't have homework to do. I didn't have to do any readings. I could just go home and be home. So, like, I started, like, just, like, drowning myself in Dragon Age. But about, like, midway, I was like, man, I'm getting bored. So I have a background in drawing. So I try to get back into that. But, like, it just wasn't really the same anymore. And, like, I needed a project and I didn't really know what to do. And I guess bundled that with I really just wanted to watch videos on Dragon Age, but there wasn't that many channels doing anything with it. And so, like, I had watched pretty much all of, like, you know, I watched a lot of Cole's stuff from the Kingdom. I watched, like, a lot of Lady Insanity and, like, Biofan and all of their stuff. A lot of Geek Remix stuff on Dragon Age. And there just wasn't really anything left. And so I sat there and was like, well, shit. I could do that, because, like, my husband does a lot of stuff with video work, so we have a video editing software. Like, I can just record stuff on the computer. I know how to do that. So it just kind of came naturally of, like, this place of I need something to do with my time, and then I want this thing to exist, so why don't I just fucking do it? And so that's kind of where that thought came from. And I think that had I not gone into internship at the same time if Michael had this, like, really large editing project, I would just see him editing all the time, and, like, he would, like, teach me how to do things. I don't think the channel would have existed, so it was just, like, this weird alignment of stars.
What were your expectations going in? What did you think would come of it, if anything?
Well, I was really, like, scared to do it at first. Like, I think the first couple videos, I actually started making a couple of them, but I didn't, like, advertise it, so it was, like, I think 3 or 4 videos of me just, like, talking into the void and, like, being very content with that. And then my husband found out, was like, what the fuck are you doing? Tell someone what you're doing. Why are you just sitting here, like, you're doing all of this work for nothing? I'm like, oh, I guess. So I think I planned a video on, like, the Balistline, and, like, the way for me to, like, advertise it was asking people to send in their Inquisitors so they could be in the video. Which I did intend to do that more often. I just don't know how to do it now, so it only happened the one time. So I posted on Reddit. I was like, hey, this is my channel. Can I, like, have some of your Inquisitors to have in a video? And a lot of people did. And so, like, after that video came out, I started getting a little bit more subscribers. And then Reddit user Glinter, shout out, posted about me on Reddit. And that's just kind of how this all exploded. And here we are now. So, I already forgot what question you asked, and I don't think I answered it, but,
No, I think you did. What did you expect, at the start?
Oh, I didn't expect anything. I thought I would max out as, like, I remember when I got 100 subscribers, and I'm like, this is it. This is as big as I get. I'll be friends with these 100 people, and we'll be cool. And it kept growing and growing and growing, and I'm like, holy shit. Now at 15,000, I don't know, I feel it's really strange. It's like, I didn't expect to get this far. Who are you people?
Is it possible even to wrap your head around 15,000 people? Because they say there's that concept, which you probably know better than me, but, like, our brains are, we can't really conceptualize more than, like, 150 people. After that, it just kind of starts to become lots of people. Like, it's all the same. We basically don't know how to relate to that many people at once.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely don't. Like, I remember I went to a very small high school, so when I hit about, like, 400 subscribers or so, I was like, wow, everyone who went to my high school has basically subscribed to me, and that's really weird. And then now it's like 1,000 high schools, you know? So like,
yeah.
I don't know if you've been following a whole bunch of this bullshit on TanaCon. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not at all.
Okay, it's I guess the TLDR on that is there was this really narcissistic girl who wanted to host her own version of VidCon, and it actually exploded and was awful. But one of the lies that they put out is that, like, oh, you know, it was supposed to be only like 1,000 people and like 15,000 showed up. And then they showed pictures of like just a mass of people. It was like, there was not 15,000 there. There was 5,000 people there. And like, there's already 5,000 in my head. I'm like, wow. That's 5,000 people, and that looks like a massive amount of people. Holy shit. And I have 15,000 subscribed to me. And then I was watching the Shane Dawson videos, and they had, like, this giant football stadium show up. Like, this is 15,000 people. And I was like, holy shit! I can fill up a football stadium! What is this?
Wow. I mean, you gotta really think about stuff like that, right? Like, it's insane. When you mention it like that, that's really something that really puts it into perspective, right? If 15,000 people were in front of you, that would be daunting as hell. You know what I mean? Like, that is, how do I put this, right? So, like, I think about it, it's like, okay, it's like I'm probably closing in on 1,000 right now, which seems small in YouTube world. But if there was 1,000 people in a theater and I was performing, I'd be like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Kevin Hart, you know what I mean? Like, you're selling out arenas right now, 15,000 people. It's crazy.
And the weird thing is, on YouTube, that's not even that big. Like, it's
right.
Respectable, but, like, you know, you got PewDiePie that has, like, what, 20 million or
millions
something ridiculous
upon millions,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's countries that are, like, smaller than that, you know? Like, it's crazy how many people are online, you know?
Right. There are people who are, their videos are being watched like a fucking World Cup game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's weird, and I definitely, like, I don't want to say dissociate, because that's not the right word, but I don't know how else to describe it, of, like, it's definitely, like, I don't think about it, because I don't want to, because it's very scary. I just want to, like, talk into the void, and, like, no one looks at me. I'm perfectly happy.
So before we get too much into kind of how big it's gotten now, going back a little bit, what was, you mentioned you made a... the first few videos, which are kind of you talking, and then you made the Vaseline video. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was the very first one, the number one video, and kind of what was your planning like at that point as far as making the videos?
My very first video was on the Thetis calendar, because when I first started playing the game, I thought everyone was just signing off on the time. Because the way they do it, it's like 9 and then colon and then the year, which looks like, you know, how you would write the time. So I just thought everyone was like, oh, man, everyone's writing at 9 o'clock at night. How weird. So I felt like really stupid thinking that. So I decided, like, well, that was really confusing for me. No one explained it to me. So I guess I'll explain it to other people. So that's kind of where that video came out of. Looking back on it, it's like really weird, because, like, I'm giving a very, like, weird performance, I guess. Like, when I watched it back fairly recently, and, like, I seem very, like, stoic, and, like, I didn't really put a lot of personality in it. It's kind of weird. I remember, like, editing it too, because, like, I essentially had to create my own editing style in that video. Like, how am I gonna do the pans? How am I gonna do the editing? How am I gonna do all of this? And it, like, took a long time. Like, nowadays I can make a video like that in, like, a couple days and I'm good, but that one took weeks because I just didn't know what to do with it. So, and, like, I feel like a lot of my editing style has changed a lot, like, my vocal performance. I feel like I'm much more casual in my vocal performance now, so I don't know if that's for the better or worse.
Well, though, that's the thing. That's what I was kind of going to ask about next, is what about, you know, the aesthetic? I guess, first of all, two things. You kind of mentioned it already, that the style is changing. So I guess before I ask that, was there a video for you personally, never mind the response, because it sounds like maybe the Vaseline video was the first one that kind of got some attention. Maybe it's that one, maybe it's another one, but was there a video where you really felt personally like, this is really good? Like, I think this is really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm starting to get the hang of this.
My favorite one I've ever done is still probably the Solus video. Because there's, like, this 30-second intro I made, and, like, for some reason that, like, idea of that 30-second intro I had for, like, a really long time, of, like, using that musical clip and, like, saying those things, and then, like, these visual beats here and there. So when I was eventually, like, made that, and it looked pretty similar to how I wanted it in my head. I was like, fuck yeah. Yeah. And like that video is also really special to me because I was actually like in the midst of graduating when I was editing that. So it was just a real whirlwind of like, I'm graduating. I had to study to get my license. Like I was, like, as I say in the video, like I actually had to like make it early and then upload it because it was also the solar eclipse. And like, I went on a vacation with my husband to like go see the solar eclipse, which is like really amazing. So like this video has also been like, kind of captured into the memory of like all these really big events in my life of like going on. It was also our first real vacation we took with one another other than our honeymoon. So, and we'd been married like 3 years at that point. So it was like our first real vacation, going to like this really cool place, you know, like graduating, getting my license. It was like a lot of really big things all in one. I think that video just kind of reminds me of all that. So it's that one holds a very special place in my heart. And then it just happens to be the soulless one. So that one was.
So what you're saying is that the solar eclipse has synchronized. It was a foretelling of this new era in your life. Is that what we're saying?
Basically, yeah, the solar eclipse is really, because I remember sitting there, I'm like, wow, like, after I come back from this, like, it's, my whole life's going to change, because, like, I had finished my internship, I, like, what am I going to do now? It was a really weird time in my life, so, yeah.
How has your style changed, and was it deliberate? Did you find yourself trying to go in one direction or another, or did you just kind of, has it just kind of felt more like you're trying to make the best video you can each time, but oh, by the way, a year into it, this is really different than anything I would have made.
I feel like the differences I have are more like natural progressions and not so much like conscious decisions to do something. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that first video, I pretty much just have like one or two panning shots in like. When the panning shot ends, then I'll just add a new one, regardless of where it is in the video. Now I try to have it where, like, if I have a new segment or subject, I'll try to change the panning shot. I try to make them related. It's not always possible. But, I feel like I try to always have, like, some weird, I don't want to say, like, goof or gag, but something to, like, make the video memorable. Like, my favorite one has probably been, like, I had a dialogue between Solas and Cassandra, but, like, there wasn't really a video associated with it. It's just, like, two figures standing in the field, and that's really boring. So I did, like, I don't know if you've seen South Park, but, like, how the Canadians talk, it's, like, their head just splits apart and, like, yeah. Weird things. So I just did that, and, like, that went over really well. That also took a long time to do because I did it in a really stupid way. So, like, I don't know, I try to have, like, a little bit of fun while editing, and that usually takes a long yeah. time, but that's how it is. One thing, so like a lot of the times when I have footage, I'll like of like the game, it won't be fully like full screen. I'll have like a little bit of border of the painting shot in the background. The reason I do that was when I was first recording video, I accidentally recorded it in a smaller resolution. And so when I was putting it in the video, that was the max size. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, oh, this one video segment I really want to use is smaller than everything else. And if I make it bigger, it looks like bullshit. What am I going to do? Well, I guess I'll just make everything smaller. And that just kind of became a tradition of now I make all the videos that exact same resolution for some reason. Huh. So that was an accident. But
And has, I'm sure there have, but, you know, have there ever been videos where you're, you know, you're less than satisfied with how it came out. You're hitting the publish button or the schedule button, and you're going, "Oh, just get it out there." And you know, kind of how do you, as a creative person, how do you try and deal with that? Or because you know, I know personally, I'm always like this perfectionist where when things aren't going the way I want to, sometimes I'm just telling myself like, "Just get it out there. It doesn't matter." How do you address that?
Yeah. Well. Okay. So. First off, is there a video that I've definitely like, oh, I don't like this, but like I need to publish something? Oh, yes. Because I think it's better to be consistent than to always have an A-plus product. Always have like something that's decent. That's my thing. But like if you're not like super happy with it, but it works and you know it works and you know you're not really going to do anything else with it, just like publish the damn thing. That video for me happened to be my most popular video for like ever. And I was so mad at it. It was the Sarah is not what she seems video, and it was like this theory, and like it's it won my least favorite theory, so I wasn't even gonna put like that much into it to begin with. Okay, so I, like the whole video, I'm kind of like angry at this stupid theory because I just really think it's dumb. Yeah. I hate it so much. And then two, like my audio quality is really bad because it's the summer, which I am struggling with right now. You probably can hear it on the audio, but like where I normally record is like right out my window is three AC units, only one of them I control. So I like I just can't fix it sometimes. Like it was back then, the only thing I could do was just like fucking deal with it. So like the Sarah one, Tug in the Stone, there's just like this whirr in the background and it's just awful, but I couldn't do anything about it. Nowadays I literally like sit in a closet, but whatever. So that video, I hated it. I hated doing it. And it became the most popular one for whatever reason. And I was just so angry at that for the longest time. Thankfully, the Liliana is fake video has surpassed it. I thank God, because I think that one's a lot better. But no, there's definitely been videos where I like, Beyond Thetis video. I made that one in a day. That doesn't happen very often, but like I was gonna do a giant video on the Wardens, but it was just taking so long that I woke up on Thursday because I had Thursday off at the time. I'm like, I can't publish this video right now. I'm not gonna finish it in time. I have to do something. So I just did that, and like, there's a couple errors in it, and like, it's very quickly thrown together. But yeah, there's definitely been videos where it's like, hey, I got 5 hours. What can I make in 5 hours? Also, that includes rendering time, so that knocks out like 2 hours. So I one nice thing about my editing style, though, it's pretty like it maybe it looks fancy to some people, I don't know, but it's really easy to do because I just have like this giant library now of pan shots. I just change a couple things, and I like the longest part right now is actually the scripting. So I don't know. That's that.
Yeah, I do feel like your style has been really consistent, and there is I shouldn't call it weird because it's like it's not weird. You're putting effort into it and it shows, but there's a real production quality. Like even when even going back a year when you were just kind of still starting, when I first saw your videos, I was like, holy crap, there's a real production value to a channel that at that point, you know, you were growing, but you were much smaller than you are now, and I'm like, wow, maybe it is just the quality of the panning shots. Also, your voiceover work is really strong. And then it's just like...
Well, thank you.
Yeah, there's something about it where I'm just like, your success now is catching up to the quality. But I always feel like, you know, I'm sure many of the people who have been subscribed to you for a long time feel like, haha, like we found we found the hidden gem before it was bigger.
And I do appreciate those people. The original 50, you know who you are. Shout out. Yeah, there's also, like, I don't reply to comments very often, but there are definitely, like, people in the comments I've seen since the beginning. One that stands out is, like, DarkKing009. You're on, like, all of my videos. Shout out to you. There's one guy called Dirthamid. I haven't seen him in a while. MacOvar. Like, there's a whole bunch of people. Like, I don't really respond to their comments, but I do read them. It's weird to talk about my editing style. Because it just kind of happened. Like, it just... I was just wanting to play around with panning shots. And, like, I didn't know why, like, everyone was just, like, having black screens and, like, still images. And, like, we have the ability to do panning shots. Why is nobody doing
this? Right.
And I feel like I've seen it a lot more recently. So I guess I just inspired a new generation of panning shots. So...
Yeah, I know. I've done it a couple of times now. I borrowed something that... Yeah, I think I've put it now in a couple of my videos. Yeah, it's a good aesthetic. So talking about kind of subscribers and community, do you have any favorite moments? You know, not just necessarily with people who subscribe to you, but kind of within the Dragon Age community as a whole that you've seen kind of maybe since you've been doing this in the last year. Is there like a good moment that you kind of... are proud of the community on, say, within this past year? Or just something you thought was neat, you enjoyed, etc.
Well, there's been a couple things, but can I remember them? I know there's definitely been times where I'm like, yeah, we're really cool. I really like the Dragon Age subreddit because, like, most of the time, everyone's really nice. You do get some assholes every once in a while, but that's Reddit.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know. There was... I... I don't really like talking about this a lot because I know it's really embarrassing for the actor, but like it happened. I don't know if you well, maybe I'll keep it vague. But there was one of the, a voice actor for someone on Dragon Age Inquisition and the other games, who suffers from apparently bipolar disorder, and he just went missing. And it was actually a pretty big deal, like for like his family, whatever. And they were like tweeting out, like, if you've seen this actor, like, can you please message us? We don't know where he is. We're really scared for him. He was kind of having like a bad bipolar day. Like, we don't know where he is. And so like the community had like a post, and like all of the comments are really respectful for it. Like, they're like, oh, I hope he's okay, you know, whatever. So it was kind of one of those moments where like when you know, shit gets real, everyone was like, oh shit, like, I hope this guy's all right. So yeah, that, I guess I was proud of us for that.
Yeah, no, I think, I don't know if we talked about that. Maybe it was a different scenario.
Wait, this was before I think I even had the channel. Okay. This was a while ago. So I think I was still on, I think I actually had a comment on there that got pretty high. If there's a comment on there that got pretty high and it's from a deleted account, probably me, because I usually change Reddit accounts every couple of years, but I've been on Gillenon for a while, so.
Who's inspired you as far as YouTubers?
Geek Remix, because of the theories they did. Probably all of like the BioWare people, like the BioFan, Lady Insanity. I really like Lady Insanity's editing style, so I guess her for a bit. Other people. I didn't really watch a lot of like non-Dragon Age lore YouTubers. I've definitely been compared to some, I don't remember his name now, but it's some like Fallout lore guy. That has like a bowler hat. I've had a lot of people say like, oh, you're kind of like that guy. I have no idea who he is. I looked him up and I was like, oh, I guess, but not really. Inspirations though. You know, it's weird to say, but like my husband's a big inspiration because like he, like a lot of the times I'll be doing something, I'll bring him over and like, what do you think? And like show it to him and he would like give me critiques and like he taught me how to use everything. So I feel like a lot of my editing style is kind of borrowed off of him. Like, I feel like if you saw some of his work, you'd be like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I should also say that around the time I started doing it, he also bought like a panning thing for his camera, and he'd like test it out and stuff like that. So I wonder if like maybe that also inspired me. So like, yeah, like his real life work, I feel like also is like inspired me to do a lot of what I do. So, and he's very business minded. So I feel like I'll like want to do something and he'll be like, no, 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 you should do this because it'll get you more people and then you get money. I'm like, okay. So yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that, we kind of joke that, he's the, if I'm a business, cause I guess I make money on Patreon, but, he's my, CEO. And, we, whenever he wants to talk to me about it, he'll grab my dog and then sit down and be like, all right, it's time for a board meeting cause my quote unquote dog is on the board. Of investors. Cute,
that's funny.
So yeah, I guess like, to answer your question, Geek Remus, a lot of the BioWare YouTubers and then Michael. So,
couple of questions and then we'll close. You know, we're talking about where you're at now and we're up to 15k. My theory, which I think I mentioned to you last time we talked, was, you know, it seems exponential, right? So you kind of start to gain steam, so you're probably going to grow even more in the second year. Does it all kind of feel like, do you sometimes think like this is a bit much, not necessarily just in terms of the YouTube size, but even in terms of like, you know, you're cranking out a ton of videos, you spend a lot of time doing this. Does real life you sometimes think, man, I'm making a lot of videos about this video game, and is that kind of weird?
Again, with the obsessive personality, like, I kind of have divorced myself from the weirdness, and I've just accepted it. But I definitely, like, when I'm editing something, Michael will turn around like, again? Another one? Like, well, yeah, to keep up. Because I find this fun, so, like, when I keep doing it, I don't mind it. So, like, I there isn't very often where I'm like, ugh, another video, cut. But, like, Michael always, like, because, like, essentially, when I'm not doing, like, chores or work or whatever, I'm doing this. Like, almost 24/7. Yeah. And so, like, Michael will, like, drag me away. I'm like, spend time with me. You're working too much. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I always feel bad. So I guess, like, it's not, I don't feel weird about it, but I've definitely, like, you know, had that comment from Michael. Now, fun fact.
I don't care as long as you get bit more.
I don't know if that's going to be picked up, but my husband just busted in and says, I don't care as long as you get paid more.
There's a CEO for you.
But anyway. Yeah, thank you, CEO. I don't remember. My family doesn't know I do this. Like, I haven't told my mom or dad yet just because, like, they don't need to know. But I feel like when is going to be the time that I need to tell them for whatever reason? And it's going to, like, the conversation is going to come down, like, hey, so, mom, dad, for the past, like, kind of couple
5 years.
I should also preface saying that, like, mom and dad are always creeped out by the internet. Like, oh, people know too much about you. So I think, like, they would be really disturbed that not only do I put things, like, my own voice online, but that probably by then, many thousands of people also hear it.
Right,
you know?
right.
And then give me money for it. Like, that would probably blow their mind. So it's one of those, like, I'm almost afraid to do it.
That's an interesting one. So I have to ask you, what about colleagues, right? Because that's one of the ones that come that I think is kind of interesting also. Does anybody know in that sense that?
Oh, no. The only one that know, like only very recently did some of my friends find out. And they're like, wait, really? And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, really? But the question they asked is like, I got a really nice computer about a year ago. And like, because I only play Dragon Age, they're like, why? What? Your other computer was fine for Dragon Age. Why would you do that? I'm like, well, and like the only reason I can say is because I need it for video editing and to get higher quality shots. So I essentially said that and like showed them the account and they're like, what the fuck? Why didn't you? But now they're like really interested. Like I should say, like these are a bunch of guys that like don't give a shit. Like their game, like the games that they play are like, you know, Call of Duty, but like PUBG and, you know, all sorts of like army stuff. And so, like, they're not really into Dragon Age at all. And they're like, you know, this is really weird, but we're proud of you. Like, one guy, like, keeps checking the Patreon page and, like, will notice, like, hey, you got 10 more bucks. Congrats. Like, okay. So, I didn't think they'd be as supportive as they are, which is nice. So, I think also because of, like, I have a past of being bullied. I just have a natural tendency to, like, not say things about myself when I'm out in public. So, like, it's definitely something that, like, I think the only reason that as many people know as they do is because Michael thinks it's really cool and wants to tell a lot about the other people. So,
well, I mean, it is really cool, and you're developing quite the following now. So I guess we'll close on this because it's not a small question. So take as much time as you want. But what's next, right? I mean, what's next? Obviously, we got Dragon Age 4 coming up, so the franchise is growing and we've got more comics, more books, all of that for Dragon Age. And then also, you know, what do you think that means for the channel? What's next for Gilder Thalin? What do you think? Do you have anything you want to tease or kind of foreshadow as far as growth of the channel, et cetera?
I'm like almost, I don't want to say afraid, but like curious at what's going to happen when Dragon Age 4 comes out and all the fans come back and I'm already an established channel. Like, how much growth is going to happen when that one, like, trailer channel comes out? Like, just from, a statistic standpoint, I'm wondering what's going to happen there. So, like, in 3 years or whatever, what's going to happen? As for growth, I mean, like, I don't know if we want to talk about it. There's that one thing that we've been planning. But it's, I don't know. I think right now I'm kind of in a place where, like, this is all I can do at the moment, so I just have to stay here. I know a lot of people are asking me to, like, oh, do videos on, like, this character or this, like, movie. I do plan to do that, so I think it's just doing more of the same. Like, I think growth will naturally happen. Like, I want to expand Patreon and stuff. Like, if I can make a certain amount of money, like, I could do this full time, and that would be really cool, and, like, you know, that type of thing, because, you know. So I don't know. I'm not really good at planning ahead, so I guess, like, at the moment, the only growth I can think of is the one thing we're working on, so I don't know if we want to talk about that right now or not, but the end.
Well, this is interesting. I learned some stuff that I didn't know before. I'm sure people are going to appreciate the kind of look the look, the retrospective. I mean, this is kind of past the 1 year, but I think it's also kind of salient, you know, kind of in that sense that we look back on your journey. So yeah, I guess why not, right? You've already, if we don't mention it now, people are going to be like, what was she talking about?
Well, I've been talking a lot. Do you want to say it?
No. You go ahead and do it, because now, you let people know what we're up to.
Okay, so for the past couple of weeks, well, I guess going back even farther, I've been wanting to start up a streaming channel for a while now, and then thankfully, I have definitely asked you to do it before, and you said no, but after the, like, live event that we had for Split the Veil, you suddenly liked it too, so we're going to be setting up a streaming channel. We're calling it Codex Added. We already have the YouTube account made. We're right now working on branding. It's mostly done. So probably by the time that this comes out, we'll have the channel ready. We still got to figure out the first day we're streaming. Should we, like, workshop this, like, right now? I don't know.
We'll say it's TBA, TBD. We've almost okay. Got a schedule worked out as far as when we'll be streaming to kind of let the people know. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure that we don't commit to a date and then not hit it, we'll say TBA.
Okay. So, like, this is going to be a chance. So our first things that I want to stream on this is, one, people have been asking over and over and over again to do my, like, canon choices for the series. So that's where I'm going to do it. I know we talked about you playing Inquisition, but I actually already have all of the mods ready. The wildest, worst mods. Well, I don't want to say worst, but just the weirdest mods for Inquisition I could find, and we're going to throw it on the game, and, like, he has no idea what the mods are going to be, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I got some good ones. I'm pretty proud of myself here. Be scared, Jordan. So we have that planned, and it's not going to be just Dragon Age. We'll also be doing other things. I think I want to stream Divinity when that new update comes out. Maybe I'll do some Cultist Simulator. I know there's stuff, some stuff you'd like to do. So this Codex Added channel is mostly going to be, like, us just hanging out on, and it won't always be him and us, him and me together. It might be, like, just me or just him. But, like, it's just going to be the two of us just, like, hanging out on a Monday night with you guys, just chilling out and talking and playing some games. So that's just kind of what that's going to look like. Hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun. If nothing else, then, you know, something else to, you know, do on a Friday night. So
So streaming channel. I don't know. I think it was partially the 1 year anniversary stream, but I think the one that really did it was when I did the Dragon Age stream by myself. It was, like, so spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if this, because I had tried to do a Mass Effect 1, a little bit of a stream, and then I think I had tried to stream Andromeda a little bit, and I ended up deleting those from the channel, not because they were terrible, but just because they weren't really that great. I was like, I don't know, I just couldn't get a feel for it. I really didn't like it as much. And then I don't know what happened exactly. The Dragon Age one, I just got a feel for it, which it normally takes me a while to do. And I was like, yeah, this is actually... this is pretty fun. I could totally do this one couple times, a few times a week. This would be okay.
So now we're doing it.
So Codex Added is the name of the channel. Stay tuned, TBA, on when the dates are going to... When the first date for streaming is going to be coming out.
Mm-hmm. And I think with that, is there anything else you wanted to say? Or
I think that is it. Where can the folks find you?
Well, I think the next episode, I don't know if we if it's going to be the very next episode, but eventually I want to do this to you. That way you're on the hot seat. So keep tuned for that. You can find me at Gildathon on YouTube or Twitter, and Reddit at Gilandon. Where can they find me?
I am the Exalted March on YouTube and the Exalted March on Instagram and on Twitter. And definitely be sure to follow us both on Twitter. That's typically where we tend to announce things like dates for streaming, etc.
Yes, definitely. And if you only want to follow one of us, we're both going to say it. So it's, follow Jordan. He'll probably, mine's probably going to be a bunch of random shit and then the streaming information. So Jordan will probably be a bit more consistent on that. But anyway, I guess with that, guys, Duresh Sharal.